Let's pray as we prepare our hearts for the scripture this morning. Lord, we just come to you in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, that you would speak to us and do a work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help me this morning to convey the word of the Lord, the message that you have given to me, to your people in such a way that it will be received on good soil in their hearts, Lord. I pray, Father, that from this service today, from this word today, Lord, there would be change in our lives. I pray, Lord, that it will accomplish all that you have sent it to do. And I give you the honor and the glory and the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a series titled Home Improvement. Last week, we talked about improving the relationships in our home. That's what this series is really about. When we say home improvement, we're talking about really improving the relationships in our home. It's about making our homes a place of refuge, a place of peace, a place where there is the blessing of the Lord and the presence of God. I shared with you five important principles, and I want to remind you of those this morning. Now, the first one is a principle that covers this whole entire series, and that is that we cannot do this without the Lord. The Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And that means that all of our best efforts, all of our striving and trying can just end not only in futility, but even in destruction. And what I mean by that is sometimes our efforts, if apart from the Lord, we just make things worse. We can't do this without God. And we have to remember that. The second principle we talked about was that we have to see what needs to change. In a remodel project, the first thing you do is you got to see what needs to change. And so it is in our homes. A lot of the time, we need to identify what needs to change in our relationships. Third, we have to envision what we want to see in our homes by faith. We see with eyes of faith the way that it ought to be in our homes. And fourth, we got to have a plan. What steps are we going to take in order to reach that? And last, if you're really going to change it, you have to commit to it. You have to commit to improving your relationship by making changes. So this morning, we're going to talk about the demolition phase. Got some groans. I don't know what that means, but we're going to pick up where we left off. To really change your house, I'm talking about your physical house right now, to do a remodel on your house, you have to commit to it. And so it is in our relationships. If you're going to see real change, you have to commit to it. You have to commit to change it. Now, talk about commitment is really cheap. It's easy to say, I really want change. I really want to improve my relationship with my spouse, or I want to improve my relationship with my children or with my parents. But to actually commit to doing it takes something different. In the design stage, we talked about seeing what needs to change. And, you know, in your house, when you look at those old tile floors that were from the 70s, and you say, yuck, this has to go, right? You identify what needs to change. Now, I want you to understand that in the demolition phase, I've done a few of these projects myself, and you know, here's why you got to commit to it. Because, you know, there comes a day when you actually have to start busting up those old tiles. And once you start, you're in it. There ain't no going back now. I mean, you're not gonna patch those tiles and put them back down. It's too late. And I'm just telling you that we have to commit to it. We got to jump in if we're gonna really change our relationships. We have to purpose to do it, and then we got to step into it. Now, I'm also going to tell you that the demolition phase can be really difficult. I've done a few things that were kind of fun. You know, sometimes knocking down a wall is fun. Busting out the sheetrock, and you know, it makes you feel tough or something. I don't know. It's kind of fun. But I have to tell you that most of the remodel projects I've done, the demolition phase was not fun. I can assure you that busting out the old tile and mortar is way more difficult than laying the new tile. And stripping off old wallpaper that was glued directly on the sheetrock is way more difficult than putting up new wallpaper or texturing and painting over. And I'm just telling you that sometimes this demolition phase in the home, what it really comes down to is dealing with ourselves, and it can be difficult. It can be dirty. It can be even painful. Part of you has to go. And I just want you to understand that this phase is difficult, but it's necessary. See? And we can't really bring the love, the joy, the peace that we want to see in our homes. We can't really bring all that in until we deal with some anger, some selfishness, some resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, hurtful words and actions. I'm just telling you that we've got to deal with some of those things that need to be taken out before we can really experience the things that we want to see in our relationships, in our homes. Now, again, you cannot see this as being about changing your spouse or your kids, or your mom and dad. I didn't say that you didn't want to see them change, but I'm saying that you can't see this process as how I'm going to change everybody else. That is what so many try to do day in, day out. They want other people to change, and they try to change other people, and they're always frustrated. Listen, if you could change them, you would have. You would have already accomplished it by now. You would have gotten rid of all their negative traits and habits and personality quirks. They would be perfect. Of course, then they wouldn't want you. But anyway, here's the truth, though. You can't. You can't get rid of their faults and their quirks. So what can you change? I'm telling you, with the Lord's help, you can change. And that is how you begin to affect change in your relationships. I want you to understand the message today is to focus on you changing, on your personal life that you are changing. This isn't, you see, we got to each of us make this personal. This isn't about my wife or my kids or my parents. No, this is about me changing. This is about allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in me, to take out those things that are hindering relationships, that are harming my family. The goal is improving our relationships in the home. So the focus of the message, listen, is on me changing. What is there in me that needs to change? What needs to come out? See, we need to look at ourselves and see what needs to change. We talked about seeing what needs to change. So we need to look at ourselves and say, what needs to change in me? What attitudes need to be dealt with? What hurts need to be healed for me to be the person that I should be? What things do I say that I need to never, ever say? What are some behaviors that need to go, that need to no longer be part of my life? Let me give you a ray of hope this morning. The demolition phase is difficult, but it's just a phase you're going through. It'll pass. Now I want to say this. I want to explain what I mean. We need to deal with the big issues. But there are going to come times down the road that you got to do some maintenance. You may even have to do some more remodel on your personal life. But I really believe that if we'll allow the Holy Spirit, that He can do a work in us personally that will really change us and really change, listen, really change our families, our relationships with our loved one. I want to give you some scriptural principles this morning to show you why it's so important that we deal with ourselves during this demolition phase. And I'll explain exactly, you'll understand what we're talking about when we say demolition phase, but I want you to see why it's so important scripturally that we deal with ourselves. First, when we think everybody else is the problem, I'm telling you, we have a pride problem that keeps us from being able to receive God's help. And listen, what we say is the principle that applies, that goes over all of these messages. We can't do this without Him. So if pride keeps us from receiving God's help, I'm telling you, we got to get rid of the pride. And if you think everybody else is the problem, you got some pride. We got to realize that we are part of the equation, that we might be part of the problem, and that God can do a work in us if we'll humble ourselves. The Bible says in James 4:6, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Now, if God is resisting you, you're not going to get anywhere. But He gives grace to the humble. Grace is undeserved favor. It's not something we earn from God, but He just blesses us because of His grace. And how do you receive that grace? How do you receive His favor, His help, His blessing? It is by humbling yourselves. And so we have to realize that God wants to do a work in us, but if we have pride, it keeps the Lord from moving and working in our life. He won't bless us. No, He resists the proud. Some of us think we're really good at relationships, but sooner or later you find out that we all need God's help. Isn't it better for it to be sooner than later? Just go ahead and figure it out. I mean, you know, sooner or later you're going to figure out that in relationships, you always need God's help. There are always things that you can't control, things that you can't fix on your own without God's help. But you got to put your pride aside. Remember the praying man, the religious praying man that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 18? Jesus tells us actually about two men. One who went to pray and he smote his breast and he said, God, forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus said that man went home justified. But here's what it says about the other man. It says he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank You that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Sound like some Christians praying. Maybe the family, you know, maybe our prayer and our family might go something like this sometime. Lord, as You know, I'm not the one with the problem here. I'm the spiritual one. Lord, please help them to change and to be more like Me. Amen. You know, the sad thing about that is some of us who consider ourselves to be spiritual, that is kind of how we probably sound to God. And I'm telling you, until we get to the place where we're willing to let God work in us, it is such hypocrisy for us to ask God to do a work in our family. It's got to begin with me. Or you can go right on trying it the old way of trying to change everybody else. How's that working for you? Don't answer that question. Trying to change your home without trying to change or without letting God change you, I'm telling you, it's not just hypocrisy, it's futile. It won't work. So you have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to do some things differently. You have to humble yourself and become changeable so the Lord will work in you. And by working in you, listen to me, it will change your family. Second, there's no way that you can help someone else until you let God help you. Jesus said in Matthew 7:3-5, He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Isn't it an amazing analogy that He's talking about your brother having a speck and you got a plank? But here's what I want you to see, is that we first have to let God do a work in us before we can help anybody else. And you might be the only Christian in your family. I mean, the rest of your family may not even know the Lord, may not ever go to church, and doesn't even care about serving God in any way. But I'm telling you, before you can help them, you got to let God deal with you. You got to get down off that spiritual high horse and let God deal with you. How about the teenager who complains that their parents don't trust them, but they've been untrustworthy? They've lied to their parents and deceived their parents, not obeyed their parents. I'm talking about when we think somebody else has got the problem, but really, we need to let God deal with us. How about the husband who complains that his wife doesn't have sex with him often enough, but he no longer romances his wife and does the things that she thinks are important? Or the wife that complains about the lack of romance in their relationship, but she no longer fixes herself up and takes care of herself. And of course, the politically thing correct, you know, the politically correct thing, there I got it, is that, well, he should love me anyway. Well, certainly he should. No matter what you look like, your husband should love you. But understand this. Listen, you got to understand this. Love and romance are not exactly the same thing. You can love your spouse unequivocally, and there be absolutely no romance in the relationship. But I want you to see how that so often we want to talk about somebody else's problem. We're focused on somebody else's issue, when what we need to do is let God deal with our issues and our problems. I told you last week that Carmen and I haven't always had a perfect relationship. We're still working on it, by the way. But there was a time when she had to work, and I was kind of glad about that in one way, because it meant that she was going to fix up every day. Now, that also meant that, you know, after she came home tired from working all day, she was too tired to be romantic, so, you know. But I do want to throw this in, ladies. If you fix up for other people to see you, but not for your husband, you got it backwards. And some of you husbands, you treat strangers better than you do your own wife. Just saying. But I'm telling you, what we need to focus on is not on our spouse and what they do or don't do, but what does God want to change in us? What are we not doing right? How can we change our and improve our relationships at home by us changing? And here's the third reason we have to take this demolition phase very personally. If we don't take responsibility, nothing will change. If it really is all beyond our control and there's nothing that we can do about it, then why bother? And you know, when we have that attitude, I'm telling you, it condemns us. It condemns our home, our relationships to stay the way they are. We have to take responsibility and say, you know, with God's help, I can change. And I can affect change in my home. See, when we blame our problems and our behavior on something or somebody else, it just condemns us to stay in the same mode, the same situation. Do you know what the most popular game in the world is? It's, some of you are probably thinking, Facebook's Farmville. 100 million users, right? Not, don't send me those requests, by the way. I hate that. Halo, you know, one or the latest, you know, new kill game, whatever, I don't know. Or maybe it's Words with Friends or Super Mario Brothers 3, or I'm dating myself, aren't I? Or maybe it's Monopoly that, you know, a Monopoly is in over 80 countries in the world. Oh, well, that's pretty amazing. No, listen, actually the most popular game in the world is none of those. It is the blame game. most of us are experts at it. It started with Adam and Eve. It is in the DNA of our sinful nature that rather than accept responsibility, we want to blame. And we talk about our culture and the generation that we live in and point our finger at the world around us and say, why doesn't anybody take responsibility? And yet we do the same thing a lot of the time in our home, in our relationships. Instead of taking responsibility for what we can change, we just play the blame game. Adam and Eve started with them. God said, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now, what is the right answer there, parents? When you say, did you do what I told you not to do? And they did. What is the right answer there? Yes. Is that what Adam said? No. He said, the woman that you put here with me gave me and I did eat. Now, Adam blamed the woman. The woman. Now, some of you ladies are feeling real self-righteous right now because, he blamed the woman. Well, in fact, when God judged him, he said, because you listened to the woman. I just wanted to get that in. Anyway, boy, you can just go any direction you want with the scripture. Some people do, too. But anyway, so he not only blamed the woman, though. He not only blamed Eve. And you notice that, when he's upset when he knew he was in trouble. He didn't say Eve, he said the woman, But anyway, he says the woman, but he also cast a shadow of blame even on God. And it isn't amazing how that people still do that today. They blame others, and in the process, a lot of the time, they even cast a shadow of blame on God. God, why are you allowing this? Why this? Listen, we need to realize that God wants to bless us. If we got problems in our home, it's not God's doing. He's the one that wants to fix it. But we got to open the door by allowing Him to work in us. Now, Eve just, she didn't do any better. She went right along with the same game. She said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Like she couldn't help it. Well, I want to tell you, that's that old comedian routine. The devil made me do it. The devil might deceive you. He might manipulate you. He might tempt you. But he can't make you. And we need to own up to what we've done wrong and our faults and our mistakes. And instead of playing the blame game, we accept responsibility. Because when we do that, it opens the door for real change in our life. And that brings change in our relationships. But you see that blame game all through the Bible. You see people over and over when they mess up, when they make mistakes, when they do wrong, they try to blame somebody else. And we see it in our culture all around us all the time. Nobody seems to want to accept responsibility. Why are you like this? Because my parents treated me like this 20 years ago. We all want to play the blame game. Everybody has an excuse for what they do. Well, if he weren't so lazy, then I wouldn't blow up. It's not my fault I blow up. It's his fault. Why I wouldn't drink so much if she wouldn't nag me? It's not my fault I drink so much. She nags me. On and on the list goes where we play the blame game instead of accepting responsibility. Everybody has an excuse for what they do or don't do. Listen to me. Excuses become a roadblock to change. If you want change, you can't make excuses. If you have an outburst of anger, you see, you can always blame that on the people that made you mad. Well, they made me mad. Well, if they wouldn't have done this, if they weren't so stupid, I wouldn't get so mad. That's a roadblock to you changing, to you dealing with that anger. You see, you can deal with it. Allow God to deal with it. And it can begin real change in your home. Anger, a bad temper, I'm telling you, they are a relationship destroyer. They destroy closeness. They destroy intimacy. They destroy peace in your home. Many homes, there's no real communication because there's someone who's always angry, and it creates an atmosphere of fear and distrust and tension. You got to deal with it. Some of you thinking, yeah, they have an anger problem. Nothing I can do about it. Did you know the Bible says that a soft answer turns away wrath? But most of the time, what happens instead is that people throw fuel on the fire. Are you using the soft answer? Maybe they do have a problem with anger. Are you using the soft answer? You see, this morning, I want you to focus not on your spouse or your children, but on you. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Let's turn this around for a moment. When you consider the faults of those that you're close to, when you consider their faults, what is your response to those things? If your response is not what biblically and scripturally what it should be, then you're using their faults as an excuse for what you do. See, when it comes to improving our relationships, we either make changes or we make excuses. I remember one couple that came to me in Carmen years ago, and they said, well, we're having problems, we want marriage counseling. And we explained to them that we're not professional marriage counselors, but we would be glad to pray with them and give them counsel from the Scripture. And we tried to do that. We met with them several times, and we would try to encourage them and help them to work through their issues and restore the relationship. But they weren't really interested in restoring the relationship from the time they came in until the time they left, other than when we were talking or praying. All they wanted to do the whole entire time, and keep in mind they called this marriage counseling, but anyway, the whole entire time they just wanted to tell us back and forth what the other one had done to them. Both of them felt totally justified in everything that they had done. Both of them had treated each other horribly, but they were totally justified because they blamed each other for every step, every action that they had taken. They both refused to accept any responsibility, and consequently, they both refused to change. I'm telling you, we have to accept responsibility for our behavior, for our attitudes, for our relationships in the home. If we don't, who will? So how do we do this? Pray. First thing, always. We always start with prayer. If you're going to do anything, you pray. Because why? We need God's help. You see, first of all, we need to pray in order that we might know what really needs to change in our lives. Now, some of you, you're thinking, well, I know pretty well because my wife tells me every day. But we need to really pray, because a lot of the time what other people see and what we've seen in our actions, listen, that's just the fruit. And God wants to deal with the root and what's really going on in our heart, because He wants us to be changed from the heart out. You can always just try to pluck off bad fruit, but you just keep having the same kind of fruit reappear. And God wants to deal with our heart. So here's a prayer from Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. And you know, the biggest problem a lot of times with ourselves is that we fool ourselves. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to search our heart, to know our heart. What's really in my heart? Verse 24, he said, "See if there is any wicked way in me." See, sometimes we think that we're so right, but in reality, we're so wrong. I'm talking about demolition. I'm talking about change in your life that will change your family. You got to pray and ask God what needs to change. Prayer is also how we ask for God's help to effect the change. He helps those who pray in faith. So we ask God for help to overcome the things that He shows to us, the things that are hindering our relationships with our loved ones. We ask for His help, because I'm telling you, you can't do it on your own. For us to truly change, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't just do it by sheer will. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, in Christ Jesus, we don't have to be locked in to the same old patterns that bring destruction and heartache in our life. The Holy Spirit is able to give us the strength to overcome those weaknesses as we daily rely upon Him. It is as we walk in the Holy Spirit, as we walk yielded to Him and submitted to His control in our life, that we're able, listen, to control that anger, to control our tongue. We're able to walk in love, to have peace and joy in our life and in our relationships. But I'm telling you, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. He'll give us what we need to do the right thing. But there has to be a willingness on our part to change, to rely on Him. You see, this demolition, what it really means for us personally is it means repentance. Repentance is an old Bible word that really just means that we change, that we change our ways. But I want you to understand this. It's not just changing on the outside. It is changing from the heart, that we are no longer the same. And that's the work that the Holy Spirit would do in us this morning. If you desire change in your home, then let the Holy Spirit begin a change in you. But it's got to come, listen to me, as repentance. That we come to God and we say, Lord, I am ready. I'm ready for change in my home. I'm ready to let you begin a demolition work on me and take out those things in my life that are causing a problem, that are bringing hurt in my relationships. See, if you really want to improve your home, if you want to improve your relationship with your spouse, your kids, or your parents, let me tell you the fastest way. Let's put it on the fast track. Here's how you can really affect, really begin change in your home. Repentance. It starts today. It can start today. Some of you, your relationship's been going downhill for a long, long time. Let me tell you how you can turn it around. Repentance. You can't control what your spouse does. Ultimately, you can't even control what your kids do. Now, I know when they're little, we think we can, but I'm telling you, when you're dealing with somebody else's will, let me tell you what you need to deal with. It is our own personal will, that we come to God and we say, Lord, I want you to change me. I want you to help me today. That we repent of selfish behavior. We repent of demanding our way. We repent of anger. We repent of bitterness and resentment. We repent of destructive and hurtful words. This is how you jumpstart the change process in your home and in your relationships. It's repentance. A lot of times people wait until things are really, really, really bad before they come to a place where they're really broken and willing to change. But I'm telling you, you don't have to wait until you're on the verge of divorce or until your child has left home. You can begin to improve those relationships right now and change things for the better just by being willing to come to God in repentance. Somebody may be thinking, well, I'm not perfect, but I don't need change. But listen, what we're really saying, if that's our attitude, is that we're content with our relationships as they are, and we're not interested in improving them, because I'm telling you, change has to start with us personally. So often in relationships, you see this over and over and over. We've all seen it. But there's a downward spiral where one harms the other one. The other one says something hurtful back, and there's just this constant downward spiral of blaming. It is a very negative chain reaction. The relationship is going downhill. Let me tell you what will break that cycle. Personal repentance. They did this to me. They did that to me. They did this to me. I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to break that cycle is for you to come before God and say, God, I want you to change me. And I'm telling you, you can change it. You can break that cycle today by repentance. It will bring a positive chain reaction of good things in the relationship. By the way, this works in the home. It works in the workplace. It'll even work with your neighbors. This is how you activate change in your home. You change. Couple that's been fighting for years, a relationship getting worse and worse, the husband decides to change. He gets serious about it with God, and so he buys some flowers, and he goes home, and he says, I'm sorry, and I want you to know that I'm going to be a different man now. I'm not going to treat you that way anymore. You see, he has opened the door for there to be healing and forgiveness, to turn that relationship towards the right direction. I shared with y'all how that one time I had to buy 2 dozen roses, right? Well, Carmen told me last night that she doesn't remember what it was that I did that hurt her, but she still remembers the roses. Now, wouldn't it be nice if it was always that easy, guys? No, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it takes real humility. It takes us being willing to take the blame. And that is so hard when you know you're right. And we know we're right. Listen, if you argue when you know you're wrong, that's just stupid. We all know we're right. And I want to tell you, if you're going to affect change in your relationship, sometimes it's going to come down to this, that you humble yourself before God, but you also humble yourself in those relationships and you be willing to take the blame. We got a scriptural example or pattern for that. I think His name is Jesus. That all of the blame was on us and all of the fault was ours and all the guilt was ours and He bore it all on the cross. And that's the picture of love. And I tell you, sometimes in a relationship, you want to get it turned around, you've got to be willing to take the blame. To be Christ-like. But it's worth it. In a relationship, real change starts with repenting. Sometimes it's repenting of unforgiveness. You know, that sounds kind of strange because if you're the one that was hurt, why should you be the one doing the repenting? No relationship can last without forgiveness. Listen, all of us get hurt. For a relationship to go forward, there has to be forgiveness. If there's hurt in a relationship, I'm telling you, it can't really move forward until there's forgiveness. Now, I want to say this very clearly because the Bible makes it very clear. I could give you about 50 verses. Unforgiveness is a sin. You say, oh, but what they did to me was so wrong. All this hurt, it hurt so... Listen, it may have been a terrible sin, but so is unforgiveness. And for our relationship to move forward, for you to improve your home, I'm telling you, there has to be forgiveness. Forgive, and it will begin a new chapter in your relationship. Now, I want you to understand this about repentance. It's more than changing fruit. It is changing from the heart. It's letting God do a work in you. So if there are issues, listen, or we see on the outside, we also need to realize that there may be issues beneath the surface. In fact, sometimes you don't really see the unforgiveness, the resentment, but it's there. And it's keeping the relationship from moving forward. It's destroying the closeness. But we got to deal with those issues. So what might need to change in you? What needs to come out? Pride, selfishness, a bad temper, grumpiness, Listen, some people are just grumpy. I'm telling you, if that's you, you old grump, it's time for you to quit harassing your family with your grumpiness and let the Holy Spirit get that out of you. You're supposed to be joyful as a Christian, and it's time to get free from that. It's time for your family to be free from that. It needs to come out. Maybe there's a personal weakness that's affecting your relationships. Alcohol, drugs, an addiction to pornography. I'm telling you, it is affecting your relationships. It needs to be dealt with. Sometimes, as I said, it may be unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, uncontrolled anger, abusive words, or even physical violence. What needs to come out of you today? What needs to change? What needs to be brought before the Lord this morning and repented of? My challenge to you this morning is that you be the catalyst for change in your family. Let it begin with you. Let's let it begin today. This is an opportunity for you to jump in to this home improvement process, to commit to it, to say, I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to change. I know that the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in me today. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. The worship team's going to come. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, I know that you see each and every one here. Lord, that you love each and every one. And you know the hurts. Lord, you know the struggles. You know the weaknesses. And Lord, yet you love us just as we are. I pray, Father, that this morning that the Holy Spirit would just do a work in us. Oh, Father, that we'll not leave the same as we came. But I pray, Father, for willing hearts. Lord, those that desire to allow God to work in them. Oh, Lord, that you might have your way, not only in our lives, but in our homes, in our families. Oh, Father, that love be restored, that closeness be restored. Oh, that there be healing and wholeness in our homes. I pray, Father, Lord, that it just begin today, that it begin this very day, this very hour in these homes, Lord, because we're willing for it to begin in us. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come. This morning, I want to invite you to come for prayer. I know that there are many of you, you're right in the middle of turmoil in your home, struggle, relationships that have been damaged over the years or by hurtful things that have been said. And I just want to encourage you this morning to let it begin today, that healing process. Let it begin today, that improvement, amen, that change in your relationship. Humble yourself. You see, I'm telling you, this won't happen without us being willing to humble ourselves and to come to God in repentance. And I'm going to be very clear and honest with you. You don't have to come here at the end of the service to pray. But I'm telling you, this is a great opportunity for you to begin it right now. For you to declare to the Lord and to your loved ones that you are letting God do a work in you and change you. Begin that change in your family this morning. As we worship the Lord and take a few moments for prayer, I just invite you to come. Some of you may feel like, well, I don't know how to do this. I can't do this. If you'll pray, if you'll ask God for help, He'll help you. I'm not telling you it's going to be easier, that it's going to be overnight, but I'm telling you that God will help you if you'll pray and look to Him. But you got to be willing to begin the process through repentance. So as we sing and worship the Lord and have this time of prayer, listen, if God's dealing with you, if you know that you need to make a change, you just go ahead and step out and come. Let a prayer partner pray with you and begin that change this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.